2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're it now.
Nightside on KSL, a limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey, streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I got Alex Carey here with me. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it. We're just keeping on with our limited edition spring season of the Nightside Project. And Alex, do you mind if I tee up just a little bit of what's ahead tonight?
Absolutely. We've got quite a packed show, and it's going to be quite a lot of fun. It's going to be very entertaining, but it's also going to be informative.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it's going to be impactful because, you know, Alex, you and I, we always want to talk about the big stories, and we want to talk about those things that are really happening. And I think we've felt at a little bit of a loss on how to address certain things, specifically related to the protests nationwide over the treatment of Black people in America.
Yeah, I mean, our role is as Nightside has kind of always been, hey, look, the news has been rough. You know, like that's kind of our assumption is the news stinks, and you know, the world has been going through some tough stuff. That's like always been our thing.
Yeah.
Always. Even before the fact that we just got to some of the hardest 3 months of human existence. But the thing is that we've always wondered how to have these hard discussions and still maintain our,
style.
Kind of, yeah, and lovable mm-hmm. kind of, I'm assuming
kind
lovable.
Of a light show, yeah. So what we wanted to
really
do is.
Extremely likable, I don't know. You know.
Accepting the fact that there's a limit to our expertise when it comes to the Black community.
Yes.
Just being two white guys, there's just a limit to what we can talk about authoritatively.
Sure.
We thought, you know what, let's try and find some solutions. So understanding that in our community, and this includes the two of us, I think, fairly, are a lot of people that want to help in some way. They look at what's been happening and say, I want to be a part of the solution. I want to engage this. I want to support this community, and I want to be there moving forward and help figure this out. There are a lot of good people that feel compelled to act, but they don't know how and they don't know where. So in a little bit here, actually about 6:35, we've got a special guest that's joining us on the show, and we're just going to find that out. We're just going to ask her, hey, how do we participate in this? What do we need to watch for? What do we need to learn in order to be a positive voice? And she's going to share that with us. She promised just to kind of, you know, lay it all
well,
out
it's
there.
A, well,
she's open to all our questions. I told her that we'd be open to all of her ideas and recommendations.
It's going to be interactive. And so that's the whole point is that there's an exercise here to be able to say, okay, where are you at personally when it comes to these things, when it comes to we'll introduce our guest in just a little while.
Yeah.
And I've been reading her page up pretty interesting. You guys do not want to miss this. That's coming up in about 20-ish minutes. But in the meantime, Ethan, we're going to kick the show off here talking about something that's very important, and that is everybody's been wanting to figure out how to get out and not be anywhere near their house. And that is a very important thing for us. We've done so many vacation clubs. This is less of a vacation club and more of just an FAQ on how to get out there and enjoy yourself this summer vacation, because you might be thinking to yourself, oh, awesome, I can't wait to get out there. But then there's that safe? Little thing. Yeah, and there's that thing in the back of your mind. Yeah, go out there and have fun. Good luck at those hotels out there. And then you go, the hotel's what? And you go, oh, you haven't heard? Okay, well, just have fun.
You know, for so long, we were discouraged from things like interstate travel.
Yes, and so can you go out of state and feel okay about it? And not just to the point of being like, yeah, I'm just going to go and who cares and just see what happens. But
a lot of people are there.
But maybe just do the whole, okay, so there's if you go over to KSL.com.
Is this a travel news or is this a tour? A vacation
it's
club?
It's not really a vacation club because I feel like it's more informative than that.
All right,
because
I was going to prompt you to play the music.
No. I said at the beginning, I'm not interested in your music. I'm not interested in your vacation club because I don't want to sign anybody up for the Nightside Vacation Club tonight under these circumstances, okay? Some of these are, here they're just questions. Can I drive to another state, okay? The answer is complicated. I'm just going to say right now, all these answers are complicated, okay? Mm-hmm. Some of these states that are that you might be thinking about driving to have different restrictions than you do, right?
That's right. In Florida, for example, if you're traveling to Florida from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or Louisiana, you have to self-isolate or self-quarantine for 14 days.
What's going on in Connecticut and Louisiana?
Oh,
Lyme disease in Connecticut, right?
They know why.
There's nothing to do with anything like New York, New Jersey, and Louisiana. Connecticut, you know why you have to stay for 14 days.
So what you need to do is if you're going to be doing some interstate travel, you need to at least just do a quick Google on the state and local government policies and places where you might stay overnight. Because, for example, if you're staying, if you're coming in from Colorado, let's say, because you want to go to a state that where you can have a lot of fun and it's nice, so you came to Utah.
If you wanted to go to a place that had actual mountains,
if you stay
way better than yours.
Yes, if you stay in Cottonwood Heights, for example, there's very little here.
I thought you were going to say. Oh, so you're trying to drum up tourism for Cottonwood Heights?
But if you go,
if you're going to come over here to Cottonwood Heights and stay at the old Hyatt place, wow!
Can I just point out that every single person that skis at Alta, Snowbird, Brighton, or Solitude
has
drives
to go
through
Cottonwood Heights.
So,
unless they chop her in, Buffy.
Oh, but chopper.
Okay, next question.
But hold on a second. I just want to finish my point. Because if you come to Cottonwood Heights, there's very little that's going to get in your way.
Yes.
If you go to Salt Lake, though, different restrictions.
Well, you might feel a little bit more nervous about just bigger cities in general. Can I stay in a hotel? Here's a question. Is staying in a hotel safe?
I don't know. Can you?
The answer is, it's complicated. So here's the deal.
That's it. The answer to each one of these cannot be it's complicated.
No, but they are like, hey, listen, they're saying the greatest risk of transmission in hotels is in situations where you're close with people. So you might be thinking to yourself, oh, boy, there's that phone again. Look at that phone. I'm going to pick it up and accidentally lick my hand in the next 25 minutes, and I'm going to get the corona.
But I'm going to suck it on the phone.
Right. I'm going to accidentally lick the carpet on the ground at the hotel. By the way.
All you got to – yes.
That carpet.
Yeah.
Don't lick it. It's not
– all you got to do is this.
Don't eat the bedspread, okay? You know why? It's not good for you.
Take along some Clorox wipes. And just hit the surfaces in the room. You know, the hotels are clean in the rooms. That's great. But I think this is an excellent point. I think we've learned enough by now to know that COVID is most effectively spread person to person.
Right. And I would say, social distancing in all of these cases is number one. So here was the deal, though, about this. And I'm going to skip over to Airbnb in this discussion because they say, well, what about Airbnb? Well, here's the thing. You know, the Marriott that you're going to possibly stay at, they're going to have corporate standards that are going to go crazy. I mean, they're going to absolutely – they're getting their employees after it. You know what I mean? Airbnb, you might have a lot of fluctuation between how things are – you know, what the policy is at that house versus what the – you know, the actual cleaning, you know, regimen that they might have. And so these are tough for that reason because they're not going to have the same kind of across-the-board standards that you get at hotels, things like that. Mm-hmm. However – you will have likely a lot fewer people that you're interacting with, and so you might be in a better spot that way. What about renting a car? Same thing. Wipe those services down. A lot of the rental car companies are wiping down cars very, very well and doing a good job. But, you know, do the extra thing. Again, you're more likely to get it from the people that you're actually in the car with than actually on the surfaces of the
car. That's right, yeah.
Now, how about this one, Ethan? Which is safer, flying, driving, or staying at my house in a coffin that I have fashioned to lock on its own.
It's filled with bubble wrap.
Yes.
So I guess that depends on which scares you more. Because The coffin for sure, yeah. But, I mean, you're obviously not going to get coronavirus if you're by yourself in your car.
Right.
You might in the plane if you're not careful. But you also might kill yourself in a car crash. So you're less likely to crash the plane.
Well, I am, yeah, because I'm not a pilot.
I mean, you're less likely to face a crash in a plane than your car.
No, you're more likely to crash your car, is what you're saying.
Yes. Okay. So the plane has long been recognized, rightfully so, as among the safest ways to travel.
Sure, got it.
And but if you're just focused on staying out of people's way, if you're just focused on the virus, I think but your car by a mile.
Okay. Here's one, and this is a good one. Can I go to the beach? Can I go to the beach? And the answer is, yes, you can go to the beach. Yes, you can go to the beach. But here's the deal. And here's the best news I've heard about this. There's no evidence that COVID-19 spreads to humans through water, okay?
Especially chlorinated water.
But they say that it's all about the keeping distance, even on the beach, things like that. Anywhere you're going to go, all these things we're telling you about, stay away from one another. All right, we're taking the break here. When we come back, we've got more to talk about. Right around the corner, hey, Las Vegas is open. Yay!
How about that?
But the real question is, what about those buffets, my friend? We're going to come back. More to go right here. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now.
We're it now.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I got Alex Keery here with me. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it. We're just keeping on with our limited edition spring season of the Nightside Project. And Alex, do you mind if I tee up just a little bit of what's ahead tonight?
Absolutely. We've got quite a packed show, and it's going to be quite a lot of fun. It's going to be very entertaining, but it's also going to be informative.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it's going to be impactful because, Alex, you and I, we always want to talk about the big stories. And we want to talk about those things that are really happening. And I think we've felt at a little bit of a loss on how to address certain things, specifically related to the protests nationwide over the treatment of Black people in America.
Yeah, I mean, our role as Nightside is kind of always been, hey, look, the news has been rough. Like that's kind of our assumption is the news stinks and, the world has been going through some tough stuff. That's like always been our thing.
Yeah.
Always. Even before the fact that we just got to some of the hardest 3 months of human existence. But the thing is that we've always wondered how to have these hard discussions and still maintain our
style.
And lovable mm-hmm. kind of, I'm yeah, assuming
a,
lovable.
Kind of a light show, yeah. So what we wanted to
really
do
extremely
is...
extremely likable, I don't know.
Accepting the fact that there's a limit to our expertise when it comes to the Black community.
Yes.
Just being two white guys, there's just a limit to what we can talk about authoritatively.
Sure.
We thought, let's try and find some solutions. So understanding that in our community, and this includes the two of us, I think, fairly, are a lot of people that want to help in some way. They look at what's been happening and say, I want to be a part of the solution. I want to engage this. I want to support this community, and I want to be there moving forward and help figure this out. There are a lot of good people that feel compelled to act, but they don't know how and they don't know where. So in a little bit here, actually about 6:35, we've got a special guest that's joining us on the show. And we're just going to find that out. We're just going to ask her, hey, how do we participate in this? What do we need to watch for? What do we need to learn in order to be a positive voice? And she's going to share that with us. She promised just to kind of you know, lay it all out there. She's open to all our questions. I told her that we'd be open to all of her ideas and recommendations.
It's going to be interactive. So that's the whole point is there's an exercise here to be able to say, okay, where are you at personally when it comes to these things, when it comes to we'll introduce our guest in just a little while. Yeah. I've been reading her page up pretty interesting. You guys do not want to miss this. That's coming up in about 20-ish minutes. But in the meantime, Ethan, we're going to kick the show off here talking about something that's very important, and that is everybody's been wanting to figure out how to get out and not be anywhere near their house. And that is a very important thing for us. We've done so many vacation clubs. This is less of a vacation club and more of just an FAQ on how to get out there and enjoy yourself this summer vacation. Because you might be thinking to yourself, oh, awesome. I can't wait to get out there. But then there's that safe? Little thing. Yeah, and there's that thing in the back of your mind. Yeah, go out there and have fun. Good luck at those hotels out there. And then you go, the hotel's what? And you go, oh, you haven't heard? Okay, well, just have fun.
You know, for so long, we were discouraged from things like interstate travel.
Yes, can you go out of state and feel okay about it? And not just to the point of being like, yeah, I'm just going to go and who cares and just see what happens. But
a lot of people are there.
But maybe just do the whole, okay, so there's if you go over to KSL.com.
Is this a travel news or is this a tour? A vacation
it's
club?
It's not really a vacation club because I feel like it's more informative than that.
All right,
because
I was going to prompt you to play the music.
No. I said at the beginning, I'm not interested in your music. I'm not interested in your vacation club because I don't want to sign anybody up for the Nightside Vacation Club tonight under these circumstances, okay? They're just questions. Can I drive to another state, okay? The answer is complicated. I'm just going to say right now, all these answers are complicated, okay? Mm-hmm. Some of these states that are that you might be thinking about driving to have different restrictions than you do, right?
That's right. In Florida, for example, if you're traveling to Florida from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or Louisiana, you have to self-isolate or self-quarantine for 14 days.
What's going on in Connecticut and Louisiana?
Oh,
Lyme disease in Connecticut, right?
They know why.
There's nothing to do with anything like New York, New Jersey, and Louisiana. Connecticut, you know why you have to stay for 14 days.
So what you need to do is if you're going to be doing some interstate travel, you need to at least just do a quick Google on the state and local government policies and places where you might stay overnight. Because, for example, if you're staying, if you're coming in from Colorado, let's say, because you wanted to go to a state that where you can have a lot of fun and it's nice, so you came to Utah.
If you wanted to go to a place that had actual mountains,
if you stay
way better than yours.
Yes, if you stay in Cottonwood Heights, for example, there's very little here.
I thought you were going to say. Oh, so you're trying to drum up tourism for Cottonwood Heights?
But if you go,
if you're going to come over here to Cottonwood Heights and stay at the old Hyatt place, wow!
Can I just point out that every single person that skis at Alta, Snowbird, Brighton, or Solitude
has
drives
to go
through
Cottonwood Heights.
So,
unless they chop her in, Buffy.
Oh, but chopper.
Okay, next question.
But hold on a second. I just want to finish my point. Because if you come to Cottonwood Heights, there's very little that's going to get in your way.
Yes.
If you go to Salt Lake, though, different restrictions.
Well, you might feel a little bit.
Nightside. Credibility. Also absurd news. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right. Welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Big night tonight. Big night planned. We've got a special guest coming up at about 6:35 tonight. We wanted to know, and we wanted to be a resource for the community that wants to engage this larger debate on how black people are treated in America. There are people that want to help. There are people that want to be part of this. They don't know how.
Would you call this kind of our own, like Nightside's own on-air diversity training?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
in a way, right?
I'll tell you right now who our special guest is.
Yeah.
It's Adrian Andrew, who's the Assistant Vice President for Diversity and Chief Diversity Officer at Weber State.
That's right.
So this is a woman who knows her stuff. So, yeah, I told her what we were trying to do. And
what did you tell her we were trying to do? Because
I told her that we wanted to be able to share with people among the things that we wanted to do. I wanted us to be able to share with people of goodwill in the community that wanted to really be a part of finding a good solution. we want to be able to offer them something. And so what she said she wanted to do is kind of walk us through an exercise, basically.
Okay.
And figure that out. So I'm all up for that. Alex, I will tell you this right now. You're going to need a pencil and a paper.
Oh, okay. No, I've got them.
And everyone else, if you're listening, have a pencil and a paper ready, because she's going to walk us through, you know, kind of how to see this and make sure that we're seeing what is important. Because there's so much noise, you know, there's so much noise around this that I strongly feel, and I know you do too, that it's important to just stay focused on what we're really trying to solve, what we're really trying to focus on, and not get too distracted by some of the other stuff. As compelling as it is.
Well, let's try it out. I'm excited about this. I'm excited to see what Adrian does with us as well. So that's coming up in about 10-ish minutes. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss it. In the meantime, Ethan, I wanted to jump in on this conversation with you very quickly, because it's that real special time. I know everybody's been counting down about it, but guess what? We're back open, baby.
City, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire.
Here's the thing, though.
Flights were booked to the brim last night,
yeah,
as much as they could be across the country, into that very special city. Just to the west of us and the southwest of us, Las Vegas is back in business, Ethan. Fire up a cigarette, everybody, because you can smoke indoors now.
But see, you can't, though, anymore. I don't think you can
smoke
in casinos anymore.
Yes, you can.
You can. We've had this conversation before.
I know, and you were proven wrong multiple times. So I don't know why we keep having this.
Can you smoke in casinos in Las Vegas?
Oh, my goodness. Jeremy, how on earth, dude, we have the Las Vegas song? But at no point does it actually say Viva Las Vegas during this
during
chunk of time.
Thing. Let's just patiently wait for it. Let's just quietly wait for it to get to the chorus.
Here it goes, right? Here it goes.
Jeez. Hold on. Here it is. Here it is.
Here it is.
Here it is. This
here it is.
Viva.
There we go. There we go. Viva. Whoa. We almost missed out on it.
Here's the problem, though.
1,000 pretty ladies. This is not. This sounds like fake. That listen, Vegas, fake news. All right.
Of course, Las Vegas is open. This is a statewide thing, as far as I know, because I think Wendover is similarly.
Oh, just as popular Wendover attraction. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, they're similarly opening their casinos.
They are.
I'm not saying it's similar to Las Vegas.
So here's the process. Here's what they're doing. So here's what one of the people. So you can imagine that there are just a mountain of regulations trying to figure out how to do this. And they said, so they welcomed guests back last night at 12:01 a.m., which in Vegas is not a big deal at all. 12:01 a.m. is like, we're just getting started, baby. And they said that guests started walking in at midnight, and they've been hitting the table. They had been hitting the tables. The seats were cut to three people at the table per game instead of the five or the six or eight in some cases. And
right.
So
social distancing.
They said, interestingly enough, they said this was a locals crowd primarily, but that the flights overnight to Vegas were absolutely booked. And if you look at how hotel prices right now in Las Vegas, we were just talking about in the last segment about people dying to get out. First of all, I've never been dying to get to Las Vegas. Okay. That is a place that I've been there way too many times for business. It has nothing to offer me. I'm just telling you, this is not the place that I want to party. But I do watch sporting events in Las Vegas quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Vegas is just not a place for like you to take your wife and kids. You know what I mean? Like, this is just not. And then,
well, tell
us
about the buffets.
That's
do
the thing
know?
Is that the buffets are not rolling out in a normal fashion.
Yeah. We're getting some texts here. 575.
You have dining and menu options that they offer you, and they're mostly just to pick up there at the thing. And then I just assume wipe on the surface of the table that you're eating at.
So. Here's a text. Wait until USU versus Utah. That'll wipe out Wendover with COVID. Someone else texted in, is the ocean chlorinated water? I think that depends.
No, they were making fun of you for saying that, especially if it was chlorinated.
Well, I meant to indicate.
Well, because I was talking at the beach. I was talking about at the beach.
Yeah, but I just wanted to throw out for swimming pools.
For pools, yeah. Which is where most of us will be. Which is where most of us will be, actually.
Here's another text at 57500. Hey, can I go to Utah, or am I not allowed? I'm from California, but I promise I won't stay and register to vote.
Listen, That's up to you. And here's what I'll answer this one, Ethan. This is one of our special friends from California. Hey, California, we think you're great. We're not quite ready to open yet. And we love you guys. We're just not quite there. We're here for your safety. So why don't you go ahead, take a big old giant, just roundabout way, maybe visit our friends to the north in Idaho, maybe go down through Arizona. Either way, we're not quite ready for you. But we love you. We'll tell you when we're ready. Oh,
we'll
absolutely. You'll see a big sign. In fact, I think the governor's on board with this. When we're ready to accept Californians back into the state of Utah in large numbers, we'll put the big signs up at the border.
And we'll do one of those airplane banners.
Oh, or we'll just write it.
Fly it around.
Or we'll write it in the air with the airplane riding.
We
will totally, California, don't you worry. We will let you know. Now, that being said,
Utah's great in the summer because you get all of the heat, but none of the beaches.
It's really
so
great.
So it's fantastic.
It's really
great. Amazing.
No, it's a. So. But, you know, I'll tell you what. I'll trade you. You can stay. I'll give you 2 days stay at Lagoon for 1 day at Disneyland. How about that? How about that, California? Is that a good deal?
I think that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Hurry, get it. Get it, California.
So there you
hurry.
Go. Vegas is now open. I just can't imagine. So part of the thing that and the Deseret News had this article that kind of did a poll about what your comfort level was with going places, and it's about church, it's about sporting events, things like that. What's your comfort level on going into a casino in Las Vegas right now? They can't be high.
It's like, for me, and this is...
People are kind of like, oh, church 50-50. Oh, the grocery store, I'm fine going there. But going to a casino in Las Vegas right now, what are your feelings on it? 57500.
Here's the thing. This is how I'm approaching all of this. Now's the time to try and use your common sense. Mask up. Right? Wash your hands a lot, have the sanitizer, and then just make sure that you don't get caught up in any crowds or any close situations. And if you feel like you can do that, then, you know, knock yourself out. I feel like going to the casino is going to be the same as going to Costco.
No, it is not.
Why not?
No, because at Costco, they force you to wear a mask.
Yeah, wear a mask at the casino, too.
But they don't tell you to wear it. They don't tell you you have to.
But you still can because you're a free man and you've got the freedom to make a smart decision.
I'm not trying to belittle...
You know what they're not going to do?
Casinos.
You know what they're not going to do in Las Vegas?
What?
Bunch us up along the meat cooler. Which I do
I feel
not
like there are a lot of things that you could call the quote unquote meat cooler in Las Vegas, and it would be applicable.
Then people would understand what I was saying.
Yes. And yes, people are stacked up on that thing. All right, hey, listen, we got to take our break here. We got news, traffic, and weather. When we come back, Adrian Andrews. From Weber State University, she's the Assistant Vice President for Diversity and the Chief Diversity Officer. We'll put us through our paces and a little bit of a training for everybody whose ears are available. It's a practice for you to kind of see where you're at. How are you feeling during these times of you watching on TV the civil unrest, the racial divide that is in this country? We're going to get some thoughts on how to handle all these things in your home, in your personal life. From Adrienne when we come back. Stay right here with us. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Nightside.
Nightside.
Nightside. This is The Nightside Project.
I may be super, but I am no hero.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space, and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. This is a special limited edition spring season of the program. We hope you've been enjoying it. We have just loved bringing it to you over the last, month and a half. We're into this now, Alex, this special edition of the show.
If you start making me count down the actual days we've done it, it makes it sound like it's not very much.
But it feels like
it felt like a lot longer.
Well, you know, this is the ongoing conversation that we're about to have right here is something that you and I have been talking about both on air and off air. Our reaction to the protests, the treatment of Black people in America, what's our role, what's our understanding, and how do we be part of this? And we wanted to try and bring as much information as we could to listeners, and we wanted to focus on making sure that we stayed focused on what's important in this debate, because there's a lot of noise, a lot of headlines, a lot of events that are pulling our attention and our passions a lot of different directions. So we want to make sure that we stayed focused on the important things. And then also for everyone out there in our community who are people of goodwill that want to engage this larger effort, support it, be a part of it, and be part of the solution moving forward, we wanted to find some resources for all of us that want to do that as well. So yes, we have a special guest.
We
she
do.
Is the Assistant Vice President for Diversity and the Chief Diversity Officer at Weber State, Adrienne Andrew. Adrienne, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Alex and Ethan. You guys are great.
Well, we've been, Ethan and I have been trying to figure out a way that would be a little bit less the part of the issue, I think, is trying to get people to engage in a time where it's like, I'm not even going to, because it did, look, we work in a newsroom. A lot of people already go, I don't want to hear this bad news anymore. And a lot of this feels like such bad news right now that we have the tendency to just totally wash it out because it's just noise.
Right. And that's natural because we're in the midst of a pandemic. Don't forget, that's part of what heightens everything that's happening right now. And admit it, nobody wants to say, yeah, I'm a racist.
Right. That's right.
Nobody wants to say that. But we actually have to start with ourselves. At least this is from my perspective. I think we start with a self-evaluation. Because when we hear that somebody else gets called a racist, our backs cinch up. And we look around because we don't want to be identified as racist.
Yeah, you hope it's somebody else.
What I did wasn't racist.
Right.
Yeah. What was that?
You say you hope it's somebody else, and you're like, they're not talking about me. So Ethan told me to get out a piece of paper. Ethan's got a piece of paper out.
Yeah, because I know you have an exercise that you can kind of walk us through, because as you indicated on the phone to me when we chatted a little bit earlier this evening, the number one place where people of goodwill in our community can start if they want to engage this and be part of the solution, the number one place is with yourself, right? With the self-evaluation.
Absolutely. So you've got out your pieces of paper.
Got
them. Gentlemen, take a pen or a pencil or whatever writing utensil you have and put your name in the middle of that paper and put a circle around it.
Okay.
And next, and I'm inviting our viewers or our listeners to do this as well.
Yeah.
And then take your writing tool and do some offshoots like your brainstorming.
Okay.
And I want you to think about the identities that you hold and which identities do you hold? So, for example, I might write that I am a black woman, I'm a mother, I'm an activist, I'm a quilter, I'm a Presbyterian. And these are identities that are primary identities for me, right? And so I'm just going to encourage you to sit down and start brainstorming all of those different things about who you are.
Okay.
Things that make you you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to ask you to look at that list of things that you've got stringing off from your name. And I want you to look at those identities that you hold. And I want you to circle the one that makes you just feel the most you, the best, the one that's who you are. That's what makes you you.
Mm.
And I want you to think about how good you feel making the circle around that word or series of words about who you are and about how good it makes you feel. Now I'm going to ask you to look at that same brainstorm. And I'm going to ask you, could anyone look at those identities that you wrote down and say something negative? Maybe look at an identity and question you as a person, your ethics, your beliefs, your ability, because of this identity that you hold. And I want you to look at that brainstorm, and I want you to circle the one that suddenly there's a pit in your stomach that you feel. Because while that's who you are, it's not who you are. Other people are assigning something different to that identity that you hold. It doesn't mean what it means to you. And I want you to circle that one. And I want you to think about the feeling that you're having. Maybe you're a little bit anxious. Maybe you're a little bit stressed. Your heart rate might go up a little bit. You might get dry mouth because it's an uncomfortable place. It might even be a painful place. Now, I want you to step back and look at that paper. And I want to ask you, how much of your day gets spent in the space that makes you feel amazing? And how much of your day gets spent in the space that makes you scared and anxious and fearful?
So, I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, go ahead.
I just had a quick question. So, I mean, not to jump ahead, but
okay.
Oh boy, here comes Ethan with his good student.
No,
vibes.
It's not that. I'm just.
Sorry, I'm a little ahead of you because I took the test. It's
Alex,
fine.
I actually wrote good student as one of my identities, so you should know.
I wrote down better than Ethan at school. That's what I put. I'm noticing too that a lot of these are when you say that about, you know, you write down identities next to yourself and you go, you know what? Those are like some of them feel more aspirational or like almost ticking a box like, well, I'm technically on paper, yes, I'm a dad, right? Technically on paper, I'm a husband, you know? And so you look at those things. Now, my five kids would go, we love our dad, you know? And it's like, yeah, but there are times where you think, man, I wish I could be better at that. Or, you know, whatever it might be in those things. But it's so you're saying, too, that a lot of those things we write down for ourselves, like, yeah, that's my identity. Some of it is, like, not your identity. You kind of maybe wish it was a bigger part of your identity.
You might wish it, but it also may be your identity and you don't fully engage in it.
Yeah.
But what I'm really trying to get at is think about those identities you hold and whether you feel that you're good at it or bad at it. And I'm sure you're a better husband and father than you realize. At least I hope so. If not, we can get you some help.
He is.
I want you to look at the things that you know others see and that they don't like, that makes them uncomfortable to know about you.
Yeah.
And maybe there are aspects of your identity that you don't like to think about. Maybe you have a criminal record. Maybe you've made some decisions in your past with outcomes that are less than what you would hope for yourselves or your children, but those are a part of you now. And what does it feel like to be in that space? And then as you're thinking about how much of your life gets spent in that negative space, that negative feeling, and how much of it gets spent in that positive space, that positive feeling, I want you to consider what it would be like if only 50% of your life felt good. But then I'm going to say, you know what? Let's say only 25% of your life you feel that good feeling. Mm. But what happens if I take you down to 10%? Because it's an identity that you have no control over. The color of your skin is something that just is. And if people feel like the identity that you have because of your skin color is negative or bad or untrustworthy or unsafe, I want you to think about what it would be like to walk around in your community every day. Now, compound it, because we're here in Utah, and I was born and raised here. I'm a Black woman. But I grew up walking around without seeing a lot of other people who look like me. So if people think negatively of me just because my skin is brown, and I don't see a lot of other brown people around me, does that make it worse? So when we begin looking at ourselves, when we begin exploring where we are, that's the key to change. Because institutions and organizations and structures don't just appear. They're made up of people. And guess what? We are the people.
We're speaking to the Chief Diversity Officer, Weber State University, Assistant Vice President, also up at the School for Diversity, and Adrian Andrews is our guest on the Nightside Project right now. We're going to keep you for one more segment here, Adrienne. Is that okay? Because I want to ask more questions.
Fantastic.
I want to ask more questions about what kind of, I mean, as in communities that are so high in numbers when it comes to white people versus other ethnicities that are around, having these conversations at home get harder. And so I want to know what that is like, having that conversation, a more difficult conversation where it's not as easy to say, look at this person across the street, look at this person over here, because it's hard to explain to kids right now, and I know it's a cop-out a little bit to say, hey, but I have young kids, and I honestly, even having done this for a long time with my kids trying to be a good dad, there are still questions I have about the best way to approach it. So we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We've got more to do and more to talk about here. The Assistant Vice President for Diversity and the Chief Diversity Officer at Weber State University, Adrian Andrews, is our guest. Stay with us right here. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Nightside, we're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. We have a special guest this hour. Her name is Adrian Andrew. She is the Assistant Vice President for Diversity and the Chief Diversity Officer at Weber State University. And she's been kind enough to join us tonight. We've kind of talked through a self-evaluation exercise. And Adrian, you know, during the break, I was really struck, you know, kind of walking through that, dividing out, you know, looking at the different facets of who I am and thinking about what my life would be like. And I think especially as a child, it'd be the hardest if everyone around me only saw what they perceived to be something that was negative about me. And that's the space that I had to live in with feeling that constant and unfair judgment. And it's harrowing. I mean, it really is. But that is, in effect, a big part of your experience growing up here in Utah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a Davis County woman, born and raised, born actually in Weber County, but raised in Davis County, and a product of state institutions, University of Utah undergrad. And I am committed to Utah and living here, which is why I'm almost, you know, 47, still living in Utah with my family. But that's because there is so much that is wonderful here that I believe that we can work through these issues of race and racism, institutional, structural, and systemic racism and oppression. Yeah. Because I think the people of Utah are ready to do that. Our governor held a conversation the other day with members of the MLK and the Multicultural Commissions, both part of his administration, and had a real serious talk about what the issues are going forward and how the state can be supportive.
Do they feel like they are positive? Are they going somewhere? Yeah, and do you feel like the governor gets it and that these commissions are like being heard and that everybody is kind of that people aren't just doing it for the sake of going, well, write it down, we have to have this conversation at least? Or do you feel like the governor and the people that are part of you know, our state structure to try to make some change, that they listen and that they want to have things happen, that they could be effective?
I think people really do want the change. I think our leadership is more invested than in just getting a report. But as I indicated in our conversation yesterday, then you have to show us where the money goes. Mm-hmm. Because words and platitudes are lovely, but at the end of the day, we know commitment is where dollars go. So if you want to change structures and institutions and policy and practice, then you have to put resources and people on the ground to help make those changes occur.
Let me just read a text message we got from a listener here, because I think he would, and it's somebody who texts our show all the time. We know him very well. And he says, I can't wait for this next segment talking about having you on, Adrian. He says, I've been really feeling bad for not being a bigger proponent for change. And he talked about not saying enough or not doing enough. Myself and my wife have best friends, 20 plus years, that are African-American. And we've been trying to figure this out all this last week. And it's like, because there's this idea of what do you say to the people that you know who are people of color? Are you supposed to say sorry, or are you supposed to just engage in a conversation? What do you think the best way for a person who just wants to go and have that conversation and put their arm around somebody, or how does that start? How do you figure that out?
The first thing you can say is, I'm seeing you in a new way. And I maybe understood that there were issues, but I didn't realize the extent. And maybe now is not the best time for me to ask you to teach me what I need to know. But I want to acknowledge that I realize something has to be different, and it has to begin with me. If you have books or resources you want to share them with me. But no, I want to be better because I know I can do and be better. And a better friend to you is what I want to do and be. So that means you can go, and I'm an academic, go get books. You can get books about identity, about race, about white fragility, about white privilege, and what those things mean. And I just got to tell you guys, the critical component of white privilege that people get really upset about is white privilege does not mean your life is easy. It doesn't mean you don't deal with obstacles. What white privilege means is that your white identity doesn't ever hamper you in addition to those other things.
Well, it's interesting, in the conversation we were having about putting like down what our identity is in the practice we did, I didn't write down white guy, you know, like,
because it's never mattered.
Because it's never, because I wouldn't have to put it in the way, right? I wouldn't have to put it in the way of the things that I can just say, like, hey, this is my thing. These are the things that I've done. Mm-hmm. And yet maybe the first or second one you said was I'm a black woman, because that is the thing that comes up maybe the most in your identity, in the work that you do, in the interactions that you have with strangers. I mean, all those things.
Right. And so it also serves to demonstrate that a lot of identity is defaulted. If you identify as white or Caucasian, if you are heterosexual, if you are able-bodied, those are all considered the standards or norms. And then everything else is different from that.
Yeah.
And so that's recognizing that is hard, because you're like, well, I didn't do anything to be born into this particular body. And you're right, you didn't. But what you can do is work to make sure that other people have the same access that you do, that making sure that people have the same opportunities that you have. It's not about giving people something. I think there's a lot of confusion about equity versus equality. Equality means that we all get the same thing. Equity means we get the same things we need. So if the three of us are sitting in a room and we take off our shoes and put them on the floor and we all switch shoes with someone else, I'm going to guarantee you someone is not going to like wearing my shoes. But guess what? The equality is that we all still have shoes. The equity issue is that we don't have shoes that fit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's part of that deeper dialogue.
Adrian Andrews, we've run plumb out of time here, Adrian. We appreciate you
giving
us your time here.
I was hoping this conversation kind of went as I hoped that it would be meaningful, but the more we talk about this, Adrian, we have not even scratched the surface. Can we do this again?
I would be delighted.
Because I think that maybe Alex, this is something you and I can do.
Well, no, we make a date. We make a weekly date with Adrian. Mm-hmm. Her husband's permission, pending.
Not a real date.
No, look, we can send her some food and say, hey, have a meal while we have our radio conversation.
It
so,
could be a Zoom date.
But if you're down, Adrian, we would love to have this conversation every week.
I am in it. Every week, I'm in it with you. Great.
All right. We're going to take the break here. Adrienne Andrews, she's the Assistant Vice President for Diversity and Chief Diversity Officer at Weber State University. We appreciate her joining us on the program. And we are going to do this more because I just like the questions and the answers. I like seeing the different perspective. I like knowing the fact that I have always felt like somebody who has been a person of equality but have lacked in the equity part. And I think that's an amazing thing. So we can learn more every week. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Second hour of the program next right here on the Nightside Project, KSL News Radio. New studies, all sorts of fun things. Ethan's headlines are all coming up. Stay with us.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City. Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
Look at the size of that boy's head. I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpaste.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition summer season.
It's summer now. They told me this would be temporary.
It cannot end soon enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right. Welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Thanks so much for tuning in. After the show tonight, Alex, I'm going to call Adrian and we'll set up a regular thing with her, because I found that really valuable.
I think that there's something every week that we could talk about that would blow our minds.
I'm
about,
just
like,
glad.
Just it, like an education, yeah. From an education standpoint.
That's right. And I'm glad because I feel like we finally found something we can do. Because what this world doesn't need is two more white guys shooting their mouths off about this.
Certainly the thing is that the thing that we find ourselves in is that we go, look, we can be outraged and incensed, and then how many times do we have to say it? Instead of actually like trying to say, because the whole thing is we have to enact change. And I always go, okay,
so
well, then what can we do? Yeah. But what can we actually do? So I think this
now
is the idea
we'll
of
know.
Changing some of the attitudes, because how many times do we have to keep having these things happen for us to go, oh, no, this racial division this time is gonna wake us up. Like, this, like, major cities being overturned and protests going crazy, this time it's going to work. And then you think, there's that part of you too, Ethan, there's that part of me that goes, ugh, it's not going to work because we've seen it not work. And then you kind of just, you become numb to it, just like everything else that seems to be failed when it comes
well,
to this.
Well, I think that's what some people want us to become numb. And that's one of the reasons why we've seen so much chaos and so much garbage just flooded in to our culture, our system right now, is because, you know, they want us to become numb to bad things.
Right.
And then that way it reduces the accountability. It reduces the accountability. We're just not able to hold people accountable because we're tired. We don't know what to believe. There's just so much garbage. And it feels deliberate. And Alex, I think it is deliberate.
Ethan.
But let's do headlines.
We've got some headlines that you've got to get
to. Ready?
This one at the very top is the most important to me, so we need to get to it. Go ahead.
The one off the very top?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I... all right. I'll do the one off the very top then.
Okay.
I was actually going to skip it.
You know why? Because you don't appreciate...
You're right. I don't appreciate it. Spanish Forks Fiesta Day's rodeo is going on as scheduled.
Woo!
And... So that's going on from July 20th to July 24th.
Well,
it's entering its 78th year.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because we canceled this is an interesting move because we canceled the year that we canceled the Days of 47 parade. And well, no, Ethan, we didn't cancel. We postponed it. Moved it to 2021.
Yes, that's right. It's postponed. Stop saying it's canceled.
It's not canceled. It's postponed till next year when it would happen next year. So... yes, they're making this decision of we're the third most popular rodeo in the state-ish, you know, around there. We're going to make a power play here because while one of the biggest ones is going to be postponed, we're going to keep going with ours. Now, my kids have busted muttons there.
Yeah.
Is that the proper term?
Yeah.
They have been busted by muttons.
And they've
definitely been they've definitely been trampled by sheep. that's what our tradition is. As like fake cowboys in my family, just go be trampled by a sheep, and then we can say you've done it. So, the Spanish Fork Fiesta Days rodeo and the whole thing, the parade and all those things, it's a big deal down there, huge deal down there. Now the question they've said that you have to wear the masks inside the stadium if you're going to go.
Yeah, but you know that's not going to happen.
That's what I was going to say. Now this is also the same community that when Rage Against the Machine was accidentally asked to come perform at their and that's what the Fiesta Days Rodeo Fairgrounds are the same. It's the same stadium. This is the same community that it was like my wife who grew up in that area was like it was seriously shut the doors. Lock the doors because when Rage Against the Machine comes to town, obviously there will be,
bloodshed.
Random assaults and there will be random just like
and
people showing
that,
up
isn't that amazing?
Beating well, you.
Isn't that amazing?
We that's are what so... they preach in their music, Ethan. How dare they? But, I said it like an old person too. Rage the Machine is coming and I don't know who this Rage person is, well, but when Rage the Machine comes in, you can't stop him.
Isn't that hilarious too? That we were ready to believe that in every other state and community, they were just so terrible. Every other state was just so terrible that they would allow this. that this was happening in cities across the country and no one would stop it.
I just love the accidental invite.
Mean, we have that expectation where we're like, oh, yeah, well, in other cities, they just let them do this as if the rest of the world is full of monsters, except for Southern Utah County where they're – you know, where they get it.
This texter actually asked a good question, because the parade, the Pioneer Days, or the Days of 47 parade and the rodeo have been canceled. So does that mean we get the double parade for 2021? 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, what they
all
do
all at the
is...
same time. They actually extended it. It goes down through Midvale. So, well, because the parade will just double its route. And you know what? If it has to be postponed next year, going all the way to St. George. After that, just keeps going. Whole rest of the state.
We'll see you in Mesa.
Provo South, you mean? Mesa? Provo South?
Is that what you're talking about? Everyone's got cousins in Mesa, right? So yes, we'll just rally there.
That's exactly right.
We'll just rally there.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
For goodness sakes.
Millard, you've got to get some more headlines here.
Got to get some more headlines. Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, has announced that he's not going to run for president.
You know, I was saying this to Scott earlier. I think we talked about it because we're planning on talking about during Unrivaled at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thought was, I said, look, he had an individual, like, independent pollster say, okay, this is what you could do. Could I make an independent run for the presidency? And the independent pollster said, yeah, probably not. But you know what? To his credit, because most billionaires hear that and go, make the numbers work. I want to run. You know, like, they're saying it so that they can have some excuse to still do it. And this is why Mark Cuban might actually be a good president, is because he heard it and he went, yeah, probably not for me then. I'm going to move on. I'm going to take
I'll
go over here and run my billion-dollar industry.
We've had this impulse for a while to hire some business executive as president or elect him as president. And I think there's something to that. I don't think we should throw that out just because this one has gone so poorly. I think we just picked the wrong business executive. And that's why things are kind of chaotic. It's like, well, okay, it's not that we had a bad idea. We just made a poor hire. And I think Mark Cuban, and you know who else I thought was who I actually really liked hearing from and about for the short
hire.
Time.
Like, this is a man. Hey, we're meeting together as management. How did that go with that presidential hire?
No,
we're not too impressed. We had a bad hire.
That's seriously
send him,
it.
Send him
you
out.
Know,
send him out. We just got to get another try in there.
You know, you can imagine the board of a company. You can imagine a board of a company sitting there, and one side of the building sloughed off, and there are fires everywhere. Guns are going off, and, you know, there are monkeys swinging through the building, attacking people, and, you know, and giraffes and whatever else. And the board is sitting there, and they go, do you think we could have picked a better CEO? And that's kind of what's happening in America right now. We're like, well, you know, maybe the business executive idea, we shouldn't totally throw it out. We should just make a better hire. That's all. And Mark Cuban, I think he'd be awesome. You know,
we got a text here.
Bloomberg, too.
Yeah.
Bloomberg.
Okay. Whatever.
I thought Bloomberg was really interesting to listen to.
He was?
And
I thought he was super boring.
And you know what else, too, is he was manifestly successful. Like, we could confirm it and verify it. We didn't have to take anyone's word for it.
Yeah. Show me your tax forms. All right. Hey. We got a text right here. It says, can you make an exception to give Chica a happy birthday shout out? Absolutely not. Unky Ben, happy birthday, Chica, will never go over the airwaves. It's not something that we are allowed to do. So
we'd love to wish Chica a happy birthday. We would.
We just can't.
We can't.
We just can't do it. All right, taking the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go on the program. Oh, my goodness. I talked through the bumper music. Rachel, I'm so sorry. When we come back, I've got this one. It is a new studies segment, and it is wild, so just be a part of it and just accept it, would you please? We'll be back right after this message from your local purveyors of business.
Side Project on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. It's tonight's Side Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Geary. Everything's going great. You know, we're having a good time. We're having a nice time. I had a little snack during the break.
Sounds like you're still working on it.
Nah.
You're like, I had a...
smack of my lips.
A little snack during the break, but now that part of my life is over, though.
Hey, speaking of smack of my lips, we've got another segment here to do.
Yes, we do.
It's a worthless studies, isn't it?
It's not worthless studies. It is new studies, and I am offended that you would call
new
it
new studies.
Yes, here we go.
Informing and confusing you all at once with the latest scientific research, studies, and polls. It's Nightside. New studies.
Man, am I right about this song, though, Alex? What a
it's
great
a
one. Hey, Alex, first up in our worthless studies.
Yeah, what do you got?
A new study published in the journal Plus One from two researchers at Arizona State University found that your real-life dog likely wants to rescue you and save your life when you're in trouble. This is really what they want to do.
Yeah.
Problem is they don't know how.
Well, here's the... not only do they not know how... well, first
this
of all...
This doesn't surprise me. Dogs are morons. They can't even learn English. More than, you know, words like foo and their own name. And you know what? Let me tell you something about learning their own name. Yeah. I have two dogs, and when I call one of them, they both show up. So
that's because they know it's like, hi, did you need something? And then the other one's there and is like, was this a food discussion? Or also, there's a little thing where the dogs want to see if the other dog's in trouble. So either the other dog, because you know that you're not going to go, no, they earned a treat, you didn't. You're not going to say that. So
yeah, but could you imagine though?
I'm just telling you.
But could you imagine if one of my kids, you know, they're in the bedroom, and they call for the mom, and I show up, I'm like, "What's up?" Or we both show up. Hey,
but see, I do. But see, we do that as humans. My kids do this, and it's like, "Hey, Cooper, come here!" And the other kids go, "That's like Chipper Dad voice."
Dad's doing something
fun. Dad might have donuts. Like, what's going on here?
So here's what they did. All right, to test and see. Hold on a second. Just as I went to read that, People magazine gave me a pop-up. Con, I don't want to know about John Legend right now.
These are new studies. You don't need to have like an intent. Look, that the study is what it is.
But I want to read
this. Dogs try to save their, okay.
I want to read this. To test if and why dogs want to save humans.
Got it.
What they did is the two researchers, Van Borg and Clive Wynn.
Oh, okay.
They took 60 dogs. I know, I thought that too.
Clive Borvan and Jor Gorbath.
They took 60 dogs and their owners, and they set up faux rescue scenarios.
I think you mean pho. It's very tasty.
The owner was put in a large box that had a lightweight door that the owner's dog could move to one side to save
them. The dogs
them.
Are watching this, and they're going, humans are morons.
Once in the box, the human would pretend to be in distress, calling out for help without using the dog's name.
I've got
to
get out of here. Dog?
Now, here's the trick. They didn't use the dog's name because that would have caused the dogs to react out of obedience.
Right, they just
were in distress. And then they tried to see if the dogs cared and if they could figure out how to slide the little door open, right?
Is this opening the door for a study of cats will murder you? That's what I feel like the next study next week is going to be. Dogs try to save you. In the cat study, the cat started pumping carbon monoxide from outside into the box that the human was in.
A new study. It's a good thing your cats are not any larger and
here's
don't
the
have
thing, though.
Opposable thumbs.
Here's the thing, though. In the end, the dog – but this is why I don't think – I think they're just trying to get to their next meal. And that,
well,
includes,
did,
that includes the fact that they will also eat your face if you die.
Well, but it's because pets are – Pets. It's because pets are pragmatic. Okay.
Okay.
When you're alive, they want to save you. Once you're dead, well, you're dead. There's nothing could be done.
Maybe they're sad when they
eat
you.
They may as well
a little bit,
eat your eyeballs.
Do you think they're a little sad when they eat me? They're like, he was a good guy.
I'm so sad. Like Homer Simpson with Pinchy.
Pinchy.
Remember
the
that
lobster,
where he's eating the lobster? Pinchy the lobster. Good. Oh, I wish Pinchy were here.
Oh, my goodness. Ethan.
I'm almost certain that's how it happens.
Ethan, next one on the list here of new studies. Because we got to get through some of these. Come on.
This is important.
Well, yeah, because listen, the next one is that kids, according to researchers, kids are watching TikTok as much as they are YouTube. That is insane. Like, YouTube is a wasteland already, but TikTok somehow beats that. I'm looking at the millennials that work here. I'm like,
I'm not on
TikTok. Am I right, kids?
I'm not on TikTok.
You know what TikTok is?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. I mean, I'm familiar enough with it. I see people cross-post TikTok videos on, for example, Twitter.
Yeah.
So do I know what it is? Yeah.
You know what there's not usually on TikTok? Like a four-hour thing about how to reinstall your toilet. That's not on TikTok. That's how you know it's worthless.
Is there a max length for TikTok videos?
Well, how long can they be? 140 seconds long?
I don't know.
I've never seen a TikTok video last more than 7.5 seconds.
Are you?
They're all 7.5 seconds long.
Are
yes,
you on
they
TikTok?
All go, it's some girl dancing or lip syncing, and then a boy comes in and goes, and then that's the end of the video.
Are you on TikTok?
No, I'm not on TikTok. But I will definitely say there have been conversations that You know, managers in this is hilarious. Managers in this building
will be in this thing, and they're like, we're asking some of you to get TikTok accounts. That's some of the thing the kids are watching these days. We need some volunteers to make toot noises at the end of the videos.
we've had these meetings, Ethan. We've had these meetings. So more
so
kids.
Why aren't you one of them with the TikTok? Because I feel like you'd be good at that.
I was like, my Zoom was on mute. So as in, I couldn't hear you either.
who's getting the TikTok then that we need to be aware
of? I'm assuming just Boyd Matheson.
He's a shoo-in.
I'm assuming
TikTok.
Just Boyd has
They'll
a TikTok.
They'll love him on
Join
TikTok.
Join the Boyd of TikTok.
So here's the thing.
Hi.
is that your Boyd? Mine was way better than yours, okay? Ethan, final segment or final new study in all of this. This is on Fox News, so it's got to be true. New study says that when couples are together, they should be wearing masks during the most intimate moments.
The most intimate moments, huh?
That's right.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Did Kenny G use a mask when he played this?
This is not Kenny G. You and Jeremy both need a lesson.
Oh,
in music,
no, that's right.
Doofus?
It's not Kenny G. No, this is Careless Whisper.
It is Sir George Michael to
May
you.
May he rest.
May he rest.
Yeah, you're right.
Imagine him singing the song with this with a mask on. Wouldn't be the same.
Put on my mask into the dance floor.
As the music dies, there's something in your eyes. Come to mind the silver screen.
Hey, listen.
Wear a mask.
I'm never gonna dance again.
Without a mask on, you're not. I'll tell you right now. So the new study is couples are going to be intimate. Are they saying this about regular couples, though?
No, they cannot possibly.
Why not?
Well,
so this is a TikTok hookup. Is that what you're talking about?
There are two things. There are two things here. Number one, this could. There's no way this is getting implemented in my house. Number two, I'm sure I don't know what they mean.
I love how it's like we at Tinder just wanted to remind you that if you do in fact have an encounter with. A romantic encounter with a stranger this weekend. I just want to remind you that our policy is that you guys both wear a mask the whole time.
I don't know what you mean.
I don't know what you mean either, but here's the thing.
I don't know I don't know what kind of encounter couples, I don't understand
this is
any
like,
of this.
Okay, so
I don't know what it means.
I had a coworker today who was like, I ate at a place downtown at a sandwich place. And they said, sir, you can't eat in the dining room unless you have a mask on. And he goes, how do I eat with a mask on? And they were like, get out. I'm not kidding. And he walked out. He's like, I guess I was out of there. They're like, this guy trying to change the whole thing, how everything works here. Some alt-right-wing dude walks in here and wants to eat a sandwich without a mask on. What
get
a
him
fool.
Out.
All right, we got to take the break. We're way late for news.
All right.
We come back. We've got other stuff we want to talk about, including... but not limited to. Oh, this is, you know what this is? We're pulling it. This is going to be a Studio 5 moment. You know why? Because Studio 5 would do this segment. But I don't know if they would do it as well as we would do it. We love Brooke Walker, but let me just tell you right now, over the top summer dessert ideas coming up next. Stay with us.
Is the Nightside Project.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now.
Wear it now.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Geary. Thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We're having a good time tonight. Alex, take me on this fantastic journey that you've got planned for this next segment.
Sorry, I just want to make you nervous for that. Just one second.
Yeah, I was going to say, am I the only one that can hear this?
Stuff, no, the remote stuff is just fun to just mess with the other person who's stuck at their house and has no power.
Hello?
Should I restart? Starts texting. Should I restart?
I can't hear anything. I can't hear programming.
We can hear you, but you can't hear me, but I can hear you only on Thursdays. All right, Millard, we've got a lot of stuff to get through here, but more importantly, we're bringing back maybe one of the oldest segments we've – well, it's not the oldest segment, but our colleagues down the hallway at Studio 5 always give us some great ideas on how to do things. And sometimes you and I can tip – look, we know our stuff too, and we can absolutely chip in as well. It's our Studio 5 moment here.
If you didn't get enough life advice, craft ideas, or holiday baking tips, join Ethan and Alex for a special Studio 5 moment.
This is wonderful music.
I forgot about how good this music was.
I know.
Oh, Paul Helms, you magician, you.
What we need to do is put lyrics to it.
Oh, you want me to do it right now? TikTok is the place to meet you. Do you meet up on TikTok? Is that what it is?
No. Yeah.
I will do lyrics to this. They will be so good. Settle down. I got it. Okay.
All right.
Now, Ethan, I wanted to bring up a couple of my over-the-top summer dessert ideas.
Wow, fun.
Yeah. Bring that music down. It's disgusting now.
Oh, this is like, so fun, you guys.
It's so amazing.
These
now, listen,
ideas are so fun.
Ethan, have you ever been in that moment where you want to have a dessert, but you want it to be so over-the-top, it's almost embarrassing?
I want it to be so fun. Like, I love over-the-top. It's dessert, so fun.
You want to take a dessert to a level that people are like, wow, I'm actually kind of offended by this.
Yeah.
And that's
so
where we're
going
to take you now on this one. The banana split lasagna. Have you heard of it?
Oh, that's special.
Yeah.
And you that's really special.
And here's the thing. First of all, sorry, summer diet in advance.
Wow.
Yeah. And let me just tell you some of the things
so
that
fun,
are included
Alex.
In this. You're going to start with a regular lasagna. Okay. So you cook that. Just throw that thing in the oven from Stouffer's. All
this
right?
is going great.
I can't get through it. I can't get through this. Hold on. Don't start with that because that would be really bad. I'm just kidding. No, here's the Ethan. I just love to have a good time with these over-the-top desserts. Don't make
this,
a regular lasagna. It's dessert,
this is so
you
fun.
Fool.
This is so
dessert.
Fun.
So what you're going to do is a crispy, crunchity. I can't do this. Peanut buttery. No peanut butter, but no
bread,
peanut butter. No peanut butter in it. So it's going to be
violation.
A pretzel crust on the bottom, okay?
All right.
So that's where we're
going
to start.
I'm
pretzel graham crust buttery bottom to this lasagna. Then you're going to go like a nice vanilla. I prefer a custard, Ethan, and some of these high-fat ice creams that are out there that are just really, really good. You can find these in your grocer's freezer. I can't do this. Then what I want you to do is put a banana on it and some whipped cream, and then you've got – they call it banana split lasagna. It is actually just layered ice cream cake, okay?
On a pretzel crust.
On a pretzel crust.
With a banana sauce over the top?
A banana pudding. It looks like a banana pudding of some sort. Yeah, I'm just guessing off of the picture. So the next one – the next
so
one,
fun.
Yeah, it's
so
really
fun.
A lot of fun. And, you know, it'll just wow your guests. That you can't have over right now. So the next one on the list, Ethan, I wanted to bring up was trash brownies, okay?
Mm.
And this involves some health code violations, but I'm going to start here. You're going to get a regular brownie mix, okay?
Okay.
So much fun, right?
Oh.
They're so much fun, aren't they? That's
I
where you're
love
supposed
it.
To say
a regular
fun.
Brownie mix?
Yes.
This is so fun.
And instead of just having like blah, regular brownies, blah, it's Thursday.
I know. I mean, I love brownies,
but like they get old after a while.
Yeah,
I want you to start digging through the trash. Okay.
Oh,
I'm assuming that's what these trash brownies are.
That's really a fun idea, fun and creative.
I didn't read the recipe beforehand, but I will tell you this: trash brownies involve some of the treats that your kids didn't eat for dinner earlier. Okay, and this is a great way to incorporate great tasting vegetables that they weren't able to finish during dinner. Boom. Trash brownies.
I know.
But like
what that's
with some
like.
Ice cream on top. Okay. The next one, Ethan, I want to go on the list here is first of all, and here's the thing too, is a lot of people if you don't have these ingredients at home, why is there a picture of John Huntsman on this slide? All right, moving along here.
Is he squeezing in his advertisements wherever he can? Did someone say food?
Wherever he can.
Did someone say throw out your summer diet? I'm John Huntsman.
I've only done that. Ethan, the other one is, because you've heard of things like the beach crumble. You've had things like, this is a great
time
for.
They're good, but I'm looking for something more fun.
Right. How about this one? This one right here. The S'mores Crispy Treats. Okay.
This is fun.
Yeah, this one's great. Is you say so one cute. Word and you mix it in with, instead of a Rice Krispie Treat, you go with a S'mores Crispy Treat. And what that does is, and I want you to put your kids to bed early. Just hit them with a little extra of that melatonin. Mm. And I want you to put them to bed. And then I want you to put on your masks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
oh, yeah.
Oh, because this is, if you put the masks on, and then things start to get serious, right? I mean, it's just like this. Then you know what's going on here.
You hit the right music
there.
Oh,
my gosh. What's going on? I want you to, before we start on the s'mores.
Hold on. Are we on trash can brownies?
No. This is S'mores Crispy Treat.
S'mores Crispy Treat.
I want you to heat up that chocolate. Okay? I want you to take some of those marshmallows. All right?
So fun. So cute. So fun.
So fun. Yeah. And I want you to stop, okay? This is a family show. I want you to just make regular Rice Krispie Treats, but with Golden Grahams instead, okay?
Fun, you guys. This is so fun.
It's fun. We got that one out of the way, so that's all you're going to do with that one. Banana split lasagna, inappropriate, as we said before. Let me see. Hold on a minute. Do you want to have a banana cream pie in a jar? Okay.
Sure. Listen. Yes. I've learned long ago. Just say yes.
Say yes, because here's the deal.
Yes, whatever it is.
Crushed Nilla wafers, vanilla pudding, sliced banana. Goodbye. Yeah. I'm done. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm already there.
How
here's
fun.
The deal. I want you to go ahead and put it in a jar, because you're not going to share with anybody else. All right? And I want that to be your new motto, Ethan.
I'll eat the whole jar myself.
It's a mini trifle. That's all I'm saying. It's a mini trifle. And then last but not least, Ethan, as we go out to the break here, our final break of the evening, I want to let you know about some of these are totally inappropriate. Boy, those trash brownies, they weren't kidding. There's like a piece of salmon in there. Oh, you want to make some fried ice cream, Ethan?
Always wondered how they do that.
This is the way to do it.
It has to be hot.
This is the way to do it. You go to a Mexican restaurant of your choice, and it's likely on the menu. Mm. So there you go.
Great idea.
Don't try to make it at home. All it's going to do is get you frustrated. Am I right? Perfect for a toppings bar at your house. All right.
Great job.
Ethan, we're going to take the break. We've got what you learned next on the program. As the show has been way off the rails, doesn't matter. We've given out tips like nobody's
business.
Like you
would not believe.
When we come back, I have no idea what we're doing. Send your text to 57500.
Oh, it's the end of the show.
The Night Sky Project continues and ends next.
What did you learn? All right, final segment of the Night Sky Project.
Oh, were you trying to fool me that time?
Actually, no, I just had the mic off.
You actually are a derelict.
I was sitting here for about 3 or 4 seconds talking to myself. All right, final segment. What did you learn tonight on the Night Sky Project? Take that into 57500. What did you learn tonight?
I will say, so somebody did actually say, so somebody texted in and said, Ethan, because I interrupted you because I was trying to get to all of our studies. Mm-hmm. They said, what did the dogs do in the study? I thought you revealed that they just basically
tried
to save the owners, right?
Yeah, so they had the dog owners in a box pretending to be in distress, and they had a sliding door, and the dogs could use to let the owner out. And that was, able to be manipulated by a dog. And the owners didn't use the dog's name because they didn't want him to be commanded. They wanted the dogs to just react naturally and want to help, want to save their human person. And what they found is that the dogs really wanted to help the humans, but they almost all were not smart enough to open the thing. So they really wanted to do it, but they just could not figure out how.
Yeah.
And one of the many failures of their species is they just, they can't manipulate boxes to let people out.
Opposable thumbs are.
I don't know why we still have dogs around. Yeah. Because none of them will ever be able to get you out of a lockbox.
I just wanted to say they help, right? I mean they're a calming.
Did So you grew up with a dog.
Yeah.
You lived
deeply. Yeah. Yep. But now we're totally, we're not a dog family like ever now because our son is so allergic.
Yeah.
Which I've learned to just kind of just, hey, you know what? That's the way
it
is.
So did your dog ever save someone's life?
No. In fact, we had a pool and our dog was really smart and would bite the waves. Every time there was a person in the pool, he walked over to the step. And the waves would lap up against the side, and he would attack them. He was biting these waves. Ethan, for 12 years that we had that pool before we moved, that dog was biting the water that lapped up against the edge of the pool for 12 years.
Yeah, sounds like a genius dog. Like
he's biting the water. But you know what? He's trying to protect us from that water.
Is that what it
See
is?
What I'm saying?
Is that what it is?
It was hilarious. He would go for hours just biting that water. And then he would jump onto that first step and lick up some water when he would get tired, get back out and start biting that water again. That's just how these dogs are committed. These dogs are committed. So,
all right, 57500, what did you learn tonight on the Night Side Project?
We have our music that I'm going to get to here. So, Ethan, without further ado,
yes,
it's our end of show music. It's very special to us. Get that mask on, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I learned I haven't laughed at lasagna so hard in my life.
It's the stupidest. I want to apologize. Someone said lay off the meds, and I'm like, listen.
Who said lay off the meds?
Some texter.
I learned that segments involving TikTok and Studio 5 may need the old Nightside content disclaimer.
What are you
in the future,
saying? What's Daniel saying with that?
Don't you remember the old content disclaimer?
Yeah, but that wasn't really for us, was it? Was it for us?
It was up to that point and since. The Nightside Project is the only show KSL's ever heard with a content disclaimer.
No, like,
so I don't know.
No,
you tell
than,
me if it
no,
was for
other
us
than,
or not.
Other than no, the content. It's not about being inappropriate. It was
no,
more
no, no.
About,
it was like, hey,
this is wild. These guys are weird.
It was
hey, Bonneville International. These guys are weird.
This is. They basically said this doesn't represent
right management, which I am offended by because some of my closest friends are management in this building. We have TikToks together. Okay,
do you?
Yes. Yes, they all know how it works. Ethan, it's that time of the night for us to get to the things that we learned in the program, 57500. Also, any of those, what's them called? What are they called? Oh, the Zen headlines.
Oh, Zen headlines.
Stuff to make you feel good. Yeah, Bergen. Bergen weighs in. I learned my guard dog can help me across the street safely, but can't get me out of a box.
Can I get you out
of
a box?
No, well, again, opposable thumbs.
Don't ever get in a box, Bergen, because your dog will be no help.
No, get help. In the box where you know how to get out, and then just yell from behind the box. Help, I'm in here.
Well, that's a good test.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like a real life emergency.
Then you'll see the dog's loyalty. Then you see the
well,
dog's
I have
loyalty.
No doubt about the loyalty of Bergen's dog.
All right.
I mean, there are no questions there. All right, here's another one. Someone's submitting a great blow your diet dessert. They call it the pig sickle.
Oh, yeah, there you go. What is it?
It's a baby back rib dipped in hot chocolate, then frozen. Dipped in hot chocolate? Why not like hot? Why not like chocolate fudge?
No,
what
that's
what
they
thing.
Mean. They,
what
mean,
a weird
they
thing.
Mean hot, like melted chocolate. They didn't mean like dipped in Swiss Miss.
You stir around a little bit and then throw it in the freezer.
And then drink the hot chocolate. You get the benefit of all of it. Helps you sleep better at night. I read it as like pig barf, the pig sickle. Like it was pig sickle. All right. Let me see here. not that I don't love the heck out of those segments, by the way. But I'm just saying, yeah, we can get a little bit weird on the show, but that's the value of the program, right?
Yeah, of course it is.
57500.
Anyone else texting in? I learned.
Let me see. Here.
Someone else has texted in. I learned Stouffer's lasagna is now considered a summer dessert food. It's from Monkey Ben.
Well, the thing is a lot of people ruin it because they cook it. It's already a frozen treat.
Yeah,
Stouffer's is already a frozen treat. you just have to get like a hacksaw out and just go at it, man. Put it in a bowl. It starts to kind of. I like the icy parts of the meat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You want to hear a great Zen headline?
Yes.
And it's a little bit on topic. I got this from Ryan Lent today. Thanks, Ryan, for sharing it with us. Use the hashtag Zen headline on social media, on Twitter specifically, really, because I'm actually not on Facebook. I think that Facebook would be better off when to the Winklevoss twins. That's where they should have left it. When bakery owner Bill Hanisch heard that traditional high school graduation ceremonies would be canceled this year, he figured he could help things out, and he made a free personalized cake for each of the 220 graduating seniors at his alma mater, Red Wing High School in Red Wing, Minnesota, about an hour southeast of Minneapolis. How about that? 220 individual personalized cake with their name on it.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those were made first? Because you kind of feel like the ones made at the very end would be the freshest. I'm asking for a friend.
Well, I wonder how long. You know what? That's actually a really good question, and I don't know. It's not indicated here.
If it took 7 days to do the whole thing, and you're on that,
I don't know.
If you're like a day six cake guy, you don't want that.
No.
Yeah. Brandon texting in, appreciative of Adrienne, Adrienne Andrews, who are our guests from earlier this evening.
Yeah,
from
she was awesome.
Knowledge is power. Actions speak louder than words. We're going to have her on every week. It's gonna be
awesome. I've got high hopes for that segment in the future because it is something that maybe can help. Because we have to keep that larger conversation going on, the treatment of black people in America. That's what the point is. And already you can see the media is just, they're off in a billion different directions. They're no longer talking about that. They're talking about every little thing. And so if we can help to have this kind of sustained and meaningful conversation, then I think that'll be good. It'll be something that you and I can do that'll be good. And our listeners also, everyone, kind of all of us together.
Some of the recipes I couldn't get to very quickly before we get off the air here, Ethan. Banana split kebabs. Let me see here. We've got a mud pie in a jar. So very similar to these. Those are just really ones that you don't want to share with other people. Let's just admit it. Hey, for Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. Rachel hitting the buttons, Jeremy doing the producing, Josh hanging out, floating out there in space somewhere.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.